Well, hello and welcome to this live English lesson where I'm sitting in my office and I will try to answer as many of your questions as possible. As most of you know, I like to do these lessons outside. And if I give you a view of the outdoors through my window, it looks relatively nice outside. You can see that the sun is shining just a little bit. The trees are moving quite a bit. But the problem is that they are forecasting rain in about half an hour to an hour. It's supposed to start raining. You can see if you look at the river that we've gotten a lot of rain recently. The river is actually flooded. For those of you who are familiar with my channel and have watched my videos and have seen the river quite a bit, you'll notice that it has jumped its bank. The river is definitely higher than it normally is. So I will keep you updated. I will go to the outdoor cam every once in a while if I see the weather changing. But as it stands, we will be doing this lesson inside. I do want to say hi to Dave and Todd, who are here to moderate the chat. I do want to remind you that this is a question and answer lesson. But if you have a question, don't ask it in the chat because the chat goes by too quickly for me to read it. Please use the link that is shared by Nightbot or Todd or Dave to ask your question. I see, though, one question in the chat. What is the temperature? So outside right now, it's about 17 degrees Celsius. It's a very nice day. I went for a walk earlier today and it was very, very pleasant. But yes, if we look at the radar, it looks like a storm is on the way. So please have generous, fun, open conversations in the chat, but if you have a question, please use the form to ask it. And I will start answering questions in a minute. First question from TryptoPal. I'm not sure how TryptoPal does it, but TryptoPal is often the very first question. Hello, Bob. How did you get this amazing idea of Q&A? So Q stands for question, A stands for answer, lessons. What is the most asked question on this channel? So I got the idea because I had my phone outside a few years ago and I wanted to test if my internet connection was fast enough to do a live stream. So I took out my phone and I clicked go live, and all of a sudden people started showing up. I think there were 30 or 40 people back then, and people started asking questions. So I answered the questions and I just later thought, oh, that was interesting. And then after I did that first live stream, I noticed people would watch it again a couple of times, probably to practice their listening. So that was the day where I thought, you know what? I'm going to start doing live streams most Saturdays and answer questions. What's the most asked question? How do I improve my speaking skills? That is the most asked question, I think, for sure. The second one would be, I can read, write, and understand English, but I can't speak it. What do I do? Yaroslav says, morning, teacher Bob. Thanks for an inspiration to many English teachers throughout the world. No questions today. Have fun. So, yes, I found it interesting that people watch my videos to learn English, but English teachers also use my videos in their classes. So it's kind of fun every once in a while. Students who are taking an English class will leave a comment and say, oh, my teacher shows your videos one video every week or something like that. Very cool to hear about that. Let's see here. Oh, Frank. What does to play it by ear mean? This means to do something without a plan in advance and then to kind of figure out how to do something as you're doing it. So let's say tomorrow my family is going to go for a hike. Instead of saying we're going to go to this hiking trail and hike for 4 kilometers, instead we might play it by ear. We'll drive to a place that has a few different hiking trails and we'll choose one. And if instead of saying we're going to hike for exactly 5 kilometers, we might just go for however long we feel like it. We'll play it by ear. Let's see here. Andre says, hello, Mr. Bob. It's proper to refer to a woman as lady, no matter her age. A million of thanks for your work. So we sometimes refer to girls as young lady, So you might say, excuse me, could you young ladies, as a teacher, I say this. If there's a group of girls and they're being loud, I might say, could you young ladies quiet down a bit? So you can use lady with the word young in front of it as well. Once someone is older than a teenager, probably you could use the word lady. That would be kind of the point where it would become more common. Let's see here. Ruslan says, hi, Teacher Bob, concerning yesterday's lesson. So yesterday's lesson was on aging. You can still watch this. It's on my channel if you want to. Ruslan says, hi, Teacher Bob, concerning yesterday's topic, have you watched the movie The Age of Adeline? If not, I recommend it. Do you think it is good to be immortal? So I have not watched that movie. I will put it on my list of movies to be watched. I feel like I'm really low. Let me just adjust. I know it's just a small thing, but I felt like I was really little on the screen. I will make sure I watch it, Ruslan. And then, do you think it is good? I think people want to be immortal. People want to live forever. That's what immortality is. If you are immortal, you live forever. But I actually think if people did live forever, they would eventually get bored. I really do believe that. Let's see here. Marion. I do want to thank Vera Lou for becoming a member of the channel just now. Thank you very much, Vera Lou, for doing that. Marion says, hi, Bob. My question is, what is the meaning of how else and like how? So how else, if someone said to me, you drive with your seatbelt on, I could respond and say, how else? Basically, what I'm saying is, I don't think there's any other way to drive a vehicle except to have a seatbelt on. It's a short version of how else would I drive my vehicle? So you could respond with how else. And if someone said, you need to tighten the strap on your helmet, I could say like how, and it means I don't know how to do it. Like, how do you tighten it? That would be the longer version of the sentence. Let me see here. I am going to do an audio check for a moment. Watch myself teach for 2 seconds. It's always delayed a bit, so I get to watch the last few seconds. I guess as I do that, I should give you guys a view of the outside. Now it looks really calm out there. Oh well, it's too late to carry all my equipment outside. We'll just have to let it be. There's one of my kids outside. That's one of my kids who really likes taking photos. I think she's going out to take a picture. She doesn't know she's on camera, so I will go back to this camera. Let's see here. Next question. Let me get to my question screen. It's from Ellen. Ellen from Brazil. Hello, Teacher Bob. Hope you're doing well. The correct sentence is, I did eat, or, so I'm not going to say the second one because it's wrong. I don't like saying sentences out loud that are incorrect because I don't want people to hear them. So you could say, I ate, or I did eat, okay? So it's kind of funny because if someone says, are you hungry? I could say, no, I ate. Or I could say, no, I did eat this morning already. And so it's kind of weird, but we wouldn't say the second sentence. And then Ellen says, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for the kind words, Ellen. Let's see here. Renata. Bonjour, Bob. Un petit... Oh, a little French explanation, the basics. When should I use s'il te plaît and s'il vous plaît? Aide-moi, merci, Bob. Have a good day, monsieur. So the difference is in English, we only have one form of you. There's no informal or respect version of you. There's just the word you. In French, though, if you are familiar with someone, you can tutoyer, you can use the tu form or toi. Or to in this example. And if someone is older than you and someone in a position where you respect them, you would use the vous form. So here's how it goes. Generally, if you're the same age and you know each other well, you're going to say s'il te plaît. And if you're speaking to someone who's older than you, who you respect, you'll probably say s'il vous plaît. My understanding, and maybe our French speakers can fill me in, is that in spite of that, s'il vous plaît is much more common, no matter who you're talking to, because it's become the default way of saying thank you, okay? So there you go, Renata. Maybe Lolly or une autre personne qui parle français peut expliquer un peu Pour moi aussi. Maybe someone who speaks French can explain a little bit more in the chat. But that's my understanding of it. Tomas says, could you give some examples of the verb get into? Cheers, Bob. So when you get into something, it can literally mean that you're outside of it. So if I'm outside of a car, I can get into the car. But if I get into it with someone, it means we're arguing. Okay. So I can go outside and I can get my car keys and I can get into my car and then I can drive away. Or if my brother showed up, I could get into it with my brother if we were disagreeing. So it kind of has two meanings there. Let's see here. In the chat, I see someone saying vous is more polite expression than tu, exactement. And we'll see if there's any other explanations from that coming up. Someone asked me, this is from Kurdish. Someone asked me if I had plans for the fall. It took me a moment to realize they meant autumn and not the collapse of civilization. Please make an accent challenge video. So what Kurdish is saying is this. So when you say the fall, it means the same as autumn. So right now outside, it's starting to look a bit like fall and feel like fall. But when you talk about fall, it can also mean like the end of civilization as we know it, like the fall of mankind or the fall of Rome. So kind of funny. We 99% of the time, if someone says, if you have plans for the fall, they're talking about the season of autumn for sure. Freddy Wolf, il a dit l'explication de Bob est excellente, rien à ajouter. Merci Freddy pour ces mots-là. Thank you very much for that explanation. Basically, Freddy said Bob's explanation is excellent, nothing to add. So thank you for that. And then Olga, thank you so much for being a 2-month member. And I know members get, I think once a month, members can do a little super chat like what Olga just did. So that's kind of fun to see as well. Let's see here. The questions are flooding in. I need to keep moving along. This is from the kindest human being. It's a good superlative. Hi, Bob. What's the exact meaning of good to know and go for it? Could you provide some examples? I appreciate it. Have a great one. So if someone says to me, when you come to visit, don't go down Main Street. There's construction. I could say, oh, thanks. Good to know. Or that's good to know. Or good to know. Basically, what I'm saying is thank you for giving me that information. And then if someone said, hey, are you done eating your pizza? Can I have one of those slices? I could say go for it. That means I give you permission to do what you asked for. That is my explanation. This is from Hi Bob. I think they're just saying hi Bob, but hi. By the way, I don't know why I have a Christmas mug. I grabbed the first month mug I could find and the biggest one. This is, I think, Olaf from Frozen. But anyways, it's not winter here yet. And Modags too says, no, we can send one highlighted message every live. That's very cool. Well, that is a cool thing to have if you're a member. You can send a highlighted message every live. Thanks, Mode, for letting me know. I know they added that feature about a month ago and I didn't know much about it. So the question is, what is verb conjugation? When you have a verb like to be, when you conjugate it, you say things like I am, you are, he is, we are, they are, you are. So instead of the verb staying the same for each subject, it needs to change. It's a little easier with verbs like to talk, where you say I talk, you talk, he talks, she talks, we talk, they talk. But verb conjugation is basically when you change the verb to match the subject of the sentence correctly. So, see, some of my favorite English teachers are here. I see Rod, the English teacher. I see Brent from American English with this guy. I know Sean from Free 99 English was here earlier and he's probably still here. Hopefully I'm not freaking him out. Hopefully, yesterday he mentioned he was waiting for my live, but doing something else with his headphones on. And then I started talking. So, let's see here. Tanvir says, what is agitation and what is aggravation? Is there any difference? So I don't often use the word agitation. Agitation refers to, you know, getting someone upset or stirring something. I use the word agitated more, like he seems agitated. So if we use the word agitated and aggravated, they're very simple. Like when he's in a traffic jam, he gets really agitated, starts to get a little bit angry maybe. When he's in a traffic jam, he gets very aggravated. So agitated and aggravated are very similar. Aggravation is describing something that aggravates you. Okay. So there are a lot of things in life that are aggravating. So hopefully that made sense. I would say we use agitated and aggravated most often to describe someone's mood. Judith. Hi, Bob. Can you explain the differences between a US and a Canadian subpoena order issued by court? And do you like rosehip jam? I have never had rosehip jam, but I like strawberry rhubarb jam is one of my favorite jams. It's hard to find. Usually you have to buy it at a farmer's market, but in the spring when rhubarb is ready, that's one of my favorite jams. And I can't explain the difference between the US and Canadian system. Although that in Canada, if you are given a subpoena, if you are required to go to court, you must go. And if you don't, you will be arrested. Okay. You cannot ignore a subpoena. And I think the same is true in the United States. I don't know if you get arrested. Let me rephrase that. I think you are strongly encouraged to go. And if you don't, I think you're in trouble in some way. I don't know if it's actually an arrest that happens. Let's see here. Sukaina from Morocco. What is the meaning of to get a made up mind? Thanks again, Mr. Bob, for your help. Have a great day. So I wouldn't use this phrase this way. I would certainly say if someone needs to decide something, they need to make up their mind. And if I was talking about the past, I would say, oh, he finally made up his mind. But I wouldn't say to get a made up mind. Okay. I would probably say he made up his mind. He decided he was going to buy the new MacBook or the new iPhone 13. He made up his mind. But the phrases as you have them put together don't really work in English. And then thanks again, Mr. Bob, for your help. Have a great day. I hope you have a great day as well. Let me see here. Here we go from Mode. Hi, distinguished looking Mr. Bob. Sorry, this may take more than a minute to answer. Could you please mention the common uses of the phrasal verbs call out and call up? So when you call something out, it means you see bad behavior and you say something about it. Okay. So if let's say, because I'm a teacher, a lot of my examples come from the classroom. If a student said, let me see here. If a student said, let's say I was teaching and students were whispering, I would call them out on it. I would say, you need to stop whispering. I can hear you. You need to stop whispering. I have highlighted that they are doing their action. It probably has more meanings, but that's how I would use call up or call out. Sorry. Call up, I would simply use to talk about a phone call. Last night I called up my mom to talk about something. I'm going to call up my brother later today. You don't need the word up in it. It can also mean if you play a sport at a lower level, the higher level team might call you up. So if you play in the minor leagues and there's a higher level, you might get called up from the minor leagues. That's the less used version of that, I think. Fox. Dialogue. We should look outside. That's what someone's thinking. That's not outside. So should I have done the lesson outside? I should just stop worrying about it. The lesson is happening as we speak. I should just enjoy the lesson, right? The sun is still shining though, although I think the wind is picking up just a little bit. Fox, dialogue. I'll buy this hat. It is the cheapest. That it is the reason. Which word to choose, that or it in the last sentence? Oh, that is the reason. I'll buy this hat. It is the cheapest. That is the reason. Let me say it faster though. If I was actually saying this, I would say, oh, I'll buy this hat. It's the cheapest. That's the reason I'm buying it. You kind of have to add, That's the reason I'm buying it. That last sentence, if I want to make it sound natural, I would say, I don't have a hat here. I would say, I'll buy this hat. It's the cheapest. That's the reason I'll buy it. Or that's the reason I'm going to buy it. Either way. But yes, definitely that's the reason. Le citrus, not le citron, le citrus. Hi, Mr. Bob. Can you explain to us, I'm going to add a two, distinguish, oh, sorry. Can you help us distinguish between discover and explore? That's how I would ask it. Can you help us distinguish between discover and explore? So if you're talking about in history, people would explore and then eventually discover something. Okay, so let's talk about Niagara Falls. They were exploring the area that's now called Southern Ontario, that area of Canada. And then eventually they discovered Niagara Falls. So exploring is like looking around, and discovering is when you find something that's cool or significant. That would be the difference. Tina, hello, Bob. Could you tell me the difference between there is and it is? For example, there is a man over there and it is a man over there. So both sentences are correct. The first sentence is simply saying that there's a man, okay? So it's like, where do I buy tickets? Oh, there's a man over there. You can buy tickets from him. The second sentence, it is a man over there, means that someone didn't know if it was a man or a woman, and you're saying that it is a man, okay? So if I was to say, that person over there, is that a guy or a girl? And then the response could be, oh, it's a man over there. It's a man. That's the difference, at least how I'm reading it. Let me read them again. It is a man over there. There is. Yep, I would say that's how I would describe them. Let's see here. Let's see. Here we go. Prabjot says, hi, wisest teacher Bob. Could you please, all of these honorifics and compliments, are they going to go to my head someday? Am I going to start thinking I'm the wisest person? I don't think so, but thank you. Hi, wisest teacher Bob. Could you please tell me how can I build up speaking and reading skills? Thanks a ton in advance. So for speaking, I highly recommend you get a speaking partner, because a speaking partner who specializes in teaching English will help you speak at your level and challenge you to slowly speak at a more and more difficult level. With reading, I recommend the same thing. Find something to read that is super easy and then start to find things that are more difficult. So if comic books are too easy, read kids' books. If kids' books are too easy, read books written for teenagers or young adults. If that's too easy, start to read. So in all things, you want what you're doing to be a balance between easy and challenging. You want it to be easy enough that you feel successful, but challenging enough that you make some progress. That is the key. Jorge says, hi, Bob. Excellent class. Thank you very much. Let's see here. Bibi from A Beautiful World says, that's a nice use of the emoji. Hello, Bob. Does get, gain, obtain, and acquisition mean the same? Or are there any words similar to it? Thank you for the clarification. Got to change that last word. So to get, to gain, to obtain, slightly different meanings. You know, this week I'm going to get a haircut. It's a little different. You wouldn't use the other ones for that. But this week I'm going to get a new car would be the same as this week I'm going to obtain a new car. We don't use the verb obtain very often though. That's a pretty rare. We have started to use the verb get. I think it might be one of the most popular verbs in English. Gain is simply to add to. You know, you can gain weight. You can gain new workers. You can gain new employees. So you already have something and you have more of it. And then I have to fix acquisition. We need to make it a verb like the rest of them. So it would be the verb to acquire. You know, I'm going to acquire. It's the same as obtain. It means to get something and it's used less. So I'm trying to think of an example sentence with acquire. You know, he's going to acquire the correct permits to build his house. He's going to get them. He's going to obtain them. He's going to acquire them. Let's see here. Rose, hello. Can we say to fetch clients, or is it better to say to attract clients? We would use the second phrase. I'll give you an example of both. You advertise because you want to attract clients. Okay. So maybe you have a sale to attract clients. Maybe you make a lot of phone calls because you're trying to attract clients. The only time you would use to fetch clients is if you had clients in your building and someone was like, can someone go to the lobby and fetch the clients? Because the meeting's starting. Very rare usage. Almost always we would use to attract clients. Let's see here. Adiraman. Romeo. Much easier. Hello, Mr. Bob the Canadian. I really like your contents, your content. My question is, what motivates you to go to work each day? And perceptive person. Well, every day is different. Here, my camera did that weird thing. Every day is different. The number one motivation for me at this stage in my life is that I actually like almost everything I do. So I like going to work. It's enjoyable for me to teach classes at a high school. So that's the number one reason. On days when I don't feel like going to work though, I realize that I need to support my family. So I'm motivated to go to work because I need money, just like everyone else in the world. And some days I'm motivated to go to work because I'm doing something new. New things motivate me as well. I like all of that. Let's see here. From Natalia, hello, Bob. What is the difference between tenant and renter? Do you use occupant within the same meaning? Yeah, you could use occupant. We would probably, if I owned a house and someone rented the house from me, I would call them a tenant or I would call them a renter. They are both used equally in Canadian English. Okay. If I owned a number of rental properties, I could say, yeah, I have 16 tenants. I don't own any rental properties. Or I could say I have 16 renters. You could use both in our part of the world. Let's see here. Joseph from Argentina. Hi, Bob. Nice t-shirt. This is my champion t-shirt. I thought I would go a little more cash today. So the difference between, please explain what's the difference between vacation, holiday, and day off. How do you use these expressions? Thank you. So we use them almost all the same, although vacation and holiday are longer. Usually if you say that you're on holidays or you're going on a vacation, it usually means you're going somewhere and it usually means you have several days off work. Okay. When you say you have a day off, we always use this to talk about, you know, a single day off work, and it doesn't mean you're going anywhere. But if I said, oh, I'm going on vacation, it implies I'm probably going somewhere. You don't have to. You can have a staycation where you stay at home. But that's how I would answer those two. Aryan says, oh, thanks for the super sticker, Jamira333. That is very nice of you. Aryan says, hello, Mr. Bob. I'm from Bangladesh. My question is, what's the literacy rate in Canada for both male and female? Have a nice day. It's probably completely equal in Canada. Literacy rate, men and women, Canada. I mean, 100 years ago, it would have been a little different. So basically, the United States and Canada are ranked at 99% literacy with an equal distribution between men and women. Okay. And that's just a result of our education system. Like, boys and girls go to school from age 4 or 5 to age about 17 or 18. And so you're going to have a high level of literacy. It's not very common for people to stop going to school in Canada. Most people get their high school diploma, and along with that comes literacy, of course. Let's see here. David from Indonesia. Why you don't make a video about stop saying example? Stop saying I'm good and you. I don't, David, I don't want to speak too much about this, but I know other English teachers on YouTube, they make videos that say, don't say this or don't say this. And I just don't like making those kinds of videos. For me personally, I like making videos that say, here's 8 ways to say thank you in English, or here's 10 phrases to express a feeling in English. YouTube's a bit of a game, and I know there's different ways to attract viewers. And so I have chosen not to make videos that have that. I have made one. I made a video that said, don't do these things in English class. And I talked about sleeping in class and those kinds of things. Yeah, I just try to make videos where the title and the thumbnail are very clear. This is a lesson about this, and if you click it, you get exactly what I said you were going to get. So, I know there's a lot of videos out there like that, and some of them are excellent, by the way. A lot of the stop saying this type video, they do teach you a whole bunch of phrases and they're really cool. But I've never made a don't video except for the one where I pretended to sleep in English class. That was a fun one. Hey, oh, I got to make a switch here though. We're going to members only chat right now. As I do that, I'm going to check my audio. There we go. Members only chat is on. I think my audio is working good. Excellent. I'm going to go to the river cam. It still looks nice and sunny out. We can appreciate the view. What is members only chat? Members are people who have clicked the join button below and have decided to support my channel. And by support, I mean they pay me each month $1, $2, maybe $5. And it's a way for them to, A, thank me. Some people join for a month or two just to thank me. Some people do that once a year. Some people are longtime members and have been members for a long time. What do I do with the money? Well, I use it to pay for most of my expenses. I use it to buy lights. I use it to buy a better camera. I use it to buy a nice camera that I use for my other channel. I use it to pay for my internet connection here on the farm. So it's just helpful for me to have people who support me. It is not required. There is nothing on my channel that you are restricted from, except one short video on Wednesdays where I talk a little bit. Sometimes I talk nonsense though. Anyways, thank you so much for being members, all of you. Let me look at the chat and start answering questions. Alcides says Shalom, and then Modag says Bob, you're our champion, as your shirt says. Thank you very much. Alexi says, I recently came across an interesting idiom, go Dutch, but those were the lyrics from the song, so I'm not sure if you use that phrase in Canada this day and age. We usually just say people split the bill or they split the check. So when you go Dutch, I think it's because Dutch people, I can say this because I'm originally, my parents came from Holland, but I think Dutch people are considered to be really cheap. And to go Dutch means that instead of the guy paying for the date, each person pays an equal amount. So to go Dutch, to share the cost of something, especially a meal, equally. So that's the meaning of go Dutch, to split the bill. Let's see here. Betty Lou has been a member for 3 months. How humble you are the best. Thank you, Betty. Thank you for the kind words. I'm just me. And then Berto and Gerson has become a member. Very awesome. Thank you. See, Mawako. Hi, Bob. Is it common in Canada to have school festivals in the fall? Yes, when there's no COVID, there's many things that are more common. Tomorrow, my daughter's high school will have its school festival, and she's really excited. Her class will exhibit a horror house. So we have a couple types of things we do when life is normal. Our school has grade 9, 10, 11, and 12. The grade 9s have a special party day just for themselves, the first Friday of the school year. We also have an evening in January where all students show off projects that they made in their classes. So we do a lot of things like that. Rod says, have a great weekend, Mr. Bob. I hope you have a great and relaxing weekend. I hope you do too, Rod. I hope you're having a nice, as our seasons flip, as you down there in Brazil move into spring. We move into fall. I hope it's going very nicely for you. Modags. Oh, I just realized I have the cool crown now. I'm a self-proclaimed king. Oh, yeah. When you're a member, you get a crown and it becomes a little more glamorous every month. Brent, using the new feature, says, whoa, very cool new tool. Yes, members once during a live stream can do a bigger, like a super chat, but it comes with your membership. Very cool. Lolly Lolly, tutoyer n'est pas impoli, c'est réservé aux amis et aux personnes qui vous connaissez. So, tutoyer is not impolite, but it's reserved for friends and people that you know well. Merci beaucoup, Lolly. Alexi, thank you, Bob. Audie the Thai. Hi, Bob. I hear you like to say, hey, folks. I usually add an S. Folks, it means friends. Thanks. Yeah, it's kind of a teacher phrase because, so the common informal word is guys, but guys usually just means boys, but we use guys to talk about guys and girls. Like, hey, guys, be quiet, or hey, guys, let's get started. I'll say things like that in class. But it does feel weird because it's not gender neutral. So folks is a nicer way to say that. Like, I'll start class by saying, okay, folks, find a seat. Today we're going to work on this. Hey, could you folks in the back of the room stop talking? So I use folks a lot. And then naturally I use it on YouTube as well. Let's see here. Beto and Gerson, hi, Bob. I became your new member. Well, thank you very much for becoming a member. Betty Lou says, hi, the cutest teacher, Bob. Could you pronounce receipt, recipient, and receptionist with your clear accent? And maybe pick one of these to make a sentence. Thanks for your help. So a receipt is something you get when you buy something. Yesterday, I bought sub sandwiches for the family and I got a receipt. A recipient is someone who receives something. So if you get an award, you are the recipient of the award. And a receptionist works usually... The first desk you see when you walk into a business, the person sitting there is called a receptionist. Let's see here. Freddie Wolf, super chat, says, hi, Bob. Could you try to say this sentence just for fun? If two witches would watch, two watches, which would watch, which watch? I think I can say that faster. If two witches would watch two watches, which would watch, which watch? Did I say that right? It's easier when you understand the sentence, right? If two witches would watch two watches, which would watch which watch? I think one witch would watch one watch and the other witch would watch the other watch. I think that's what would happen. Mickey, hey, Mr. Bob, how can I use better off in a sentence? Well, sometimes people are married and they get, and it's actually a good thing because they fought so much. So you would say they are better off, okay? It's sad when people get divorced sometimes, but sometimes they're better off not being together. And then better is just a description of something that's, you know, drinking water is better if I put honey in it or something like that. Let's see. Modags says to Rod, I'm still waiting for you to assign a meaning for the phrase go Brazilian. Samuel, I was going to move on from that one. Samuel Chen, hi, teacher Bob. Recently, I got IELTS band 8. Awesome. But my speaking skills are still weak. Little switch there. Your lessons really help all the way. Thank you for your videos and lives. No problem, Samuel. Good work there on the band 8. And I hope as you continue to study, things improve in all areas for you. Let's see here. So if you're wondering what's happening, I'm answering questions from members from the chat right now. Let's see here. Olga, I've learned an interesting expression. It's not rocket science. It's used in the US as far as I know. Can we say the same in Canadian English? Yes. When someone is doing something that's simple, but they think it's complex, we sometimes say, come on, it's not that hard. It's not rocket science. Because rocket science would be really hard. I think some people say it's not brain surgery too. That's less common. Let's see here. Betty Lou, hi, the cutest teacher, Bob. What's the difference between historic and historical? Could you elaborate on that? Thank you. And please have some water. I will have a drink of water. So historic means memorable or something that will become part of history. So they had a party and it was a historic party. Maybe it was for the 100th birthday of something, of somebody. Historical means that it's already part of history. Let's see here. Rod, system mode, you're so funny. Thank you. Brent from American English, what this guy says, I think one of those new chats once a month. Yeah, I think it's once a month. Mode said it maybe is one per live stream. We'll have to see. We'll test it out as we go. Mode eggs, Mr. Bob, I didn't know we were allowed to ask questions about the French language. Well, be prepared next time because I'll flood you with questions about that. I will just forward the questions to Lolly Lolly if I don't know the answer. Natalia, oh, I'm coming in at the end of the class, but better late than never. Excellent. That is very true. Natalia, good to see you. Betty Lou, the cutest teacher, Bob. Can you name three things that make you happy when doing a live stream? I admire your work. Thanks a lot. I'm happy during, this is kind of funny. I'm happy during the live stream when I get questions that are relatively easy to answer, but occasionally a good hard question, because I like it when I really have to think sometimes. So not easy questions. Questions that are straightforward, where I can think of an answer very quickly, because I think that benefits everybody. I should show you guys outside. It's now clouding over. The sun is gone. We'll leave the outdoor cam on for a bit while I finish off these member questions. And as always, yesterday I had this too. My computer did weird things. I think it's working now. Where am I? Betty Lou. Thanks a lot. Mode eggs. Would you pronounce the following words with your charming accent? Palette, palette, and palette. I would say them all the same if I was speaking English, for sure. Palette, palette, and palette. They might have different pronunciations in Britain, so I would check that, but I would say them all the same. And then I would probably use the first and last one more often. Palette and palette. Modegs, that's great, Samuel Chen. Congrats, Band 8 is very good. Modegs says, sorry, Mr. Bob, one last question. Do you use the word inning in sports other than baseball? We only use it in baseball. I'm not familiar with, I guess I don't watch any other sports. Excuse me. I'm not a huge sports fan. I'm looking it up right now. Sports that use innings. Let's see here. Is cricket's becoming a lot more popular in Canada? Like they're, a friend of mine owns a company and they're building cricket pitches. Are they pitches? In around Toronto, there's a lot more cricket being played. So let's see here. I need to wrap this up and move on. Samuel Chen says, Mode eggs, thanks. I think speaking reveals one's real language capability. I'm very happy with that score too. Yes, awesome. Betty Lou, our teacher, Bob, do you have any methods to stay concentrated while studying? I would like to hear from you and try it out. Learning English for a whole day without being distracted is hard. Having a cup of coffee helps, but I don't drink coffee anymore. But for me, when I would have coffee and caffeine, I could study for a long time and stay focused. For me now, the secret is to have a good night's sleep and to not have a lot of other things to do that day. It's much easier for me to study if I usually do all my busy stuff first if I'm planning to study French that day. So for you studying English, that's what I would say. Mode says to Brent, no, I tested that. It's one per live stream. I know, Brent, you have every reason to not believe me, but I swear this is not one of my tricks. Alcida says the image is outside of your home now. Yes, I set a camera up pointing out the window just so that we could see. It's supposed to start raining in about 20 minutes. We'll see if that happens. Fuang says, hi, Mr. Bob. Please help me explain the sentence. He consult me. It means I give him advice or he gives me advice. If I consult you, you are giving me advice, okay? If I go and consult my uncle gives me advice. That's the direction that would go. Let's see here. Brent, ha, there is a glitch with those special chats, though. I couldn't type after without restarting the stream. Oh, interesting. You get to talk and then you're silenced. And then Brent says to Mode, oh, nice. Did you have trouble submitting the comment and then after? So trying to troubleshoot there. Mickey says, Mr. Bob, the word ain't is commonly used in daily conversation. Not as much as it used to be. It's the equivalent of isn't, like he isn't doing that, he ain't doing that. You will hear it. I think it was a lot more common when I was a kid though. Okay, let me get back to the settings here. Let's go back to subscriber chat mode. So we were just in members only chat mode. Once again, thank you so much for being members. You get a few perks. You get one extra video on Wednesdays. You get your name green during live lessons twice a week. You get a little crown by your name. And you get to participate in members only chat. In the middle of each live stream, I switch the chat to members only. So thank you once again for being members and supporting what I do here on YouTube. It's a lot of fun. Let's see here. There's bugs inside too, by the way. Marlon, back to the questions here. Good morning, Mr. Bob. I would like to know, what is your advice for those who want to reach an advanced English level? How can they do it? Thanks in advance. So two things that I think are really important to reach an advanced English level. It's having a routine, setting a routine for the week, and setting aside not just planning when to study, but enough time to study. And then the second thing is an equal amount of reading, writing, listening, and speaking, and then add in some vocabulary and grammar training. I know it's very old school. It's a very kind of an old fashioned sounding way to do it, but I do think it works well. So number one, schedule an hour or more a day to study English and make sure you are doing reading, writing, learning, reading, writing, listening, and speaking. And on the speaking component, hire someone to give you lessons via Skype or FaceTime. There's a link to a place called Preply below where you can find people. You do have to pay money, but that's what I would highly recommend. Next question from Vin. What does point taken mean? Is this word used frequently? Thank you so much. It's used frequently when people discuss and argue in a civilized way. So at my work, when we have a meeting with all the teachers, if a teacher says something logical and factual that contradicts what I thought, I will say, oh, point taken. Like, I understand what you said and it's helped me start to change my mind. So if you said practicing English speaking isn't important and I explained to you why I think it's important, you might say, oh, point taken. You could also say good point. That's another thing you could say. Let's see here. Zeus says, hi, Bob. Have you ever seen a grizzly? We have to change the E to a Y, bear. I have not. I've seen black bears, though, in Northern Ontario. When you camp in Northern Ontario, you sometimes see black bears. Super chat here. Hi there. I'm Kenny. I'm here to learn English. Well, hi, Kenny. Thank you so much for the super chat and for hanging out and learning a little bit of English. That's awesome. Let's see here. Ario is here. Hi, Ario. Hola, Mr. Bob. How are you? How could we understand movies in English? I only understand common sentences when I watched Spider-Man the other day. Thank you. So there's a few strategies, and all of these take lots of time. But there's a few strategies to help understand a movie in English. One thing you can do is watch the movie in your own language and then watch it again in English. So that way you understand the story. And so when you watch it in English, you might pick up some new words. The second thing you can do is turn on the subtitles and you can slow the movie down. All of those things are helpful. Probably one thing I think works really well is if there is a book that gets made into a movie that you read the book in English first and then watch the movie in English. So all of those things take time, but anytime you can layer your use of a resource where you can read, listen, watch it, all of that really, really helps, Ario. That's my advice to you. Claudio says, hi, Bob. First, your channel is so nice. Thanks, Claudio. And I love Canada. Thank you. I love Brazil too, by the way. Please help me with the many ways to use ing. Thank you. Cheers from Brazil. Well, I can't in a short period of time help with that. All I can say is that whenever we talk about what we are currently doing, we almost always use the verb to be and the ing form of the verb. So I am live streaming. Did we make live streaming a verb? I think we did. I am drinking water. I am enjoying this live stream. I am going. I went down the wrong. Excuse me. In English, we have an expression. Sometimes when you drink something, we say it went down the wrong hole, which I just was saying. I don't know if you caught me saying that. I took a sip of water, and then it's like the water. It didn't really go down the wrong hole, but it just I had to cough a little bit. So, anyways, when you're talking about what you are currently doing, I am studying, I am reading, I am listening to music, I am walking, I am jumping. That's an introduction to when to use the ing form. Mickey, tongue challenge. Can you say it quickly? To begin to begin to toboggan, first buy a toboggan, but don't buy too big a toboggan. Too big a toboggan is too big a toboggan to buy to begin to toboggan. Yeah. Should I try to say that again? Because I messed it up the first time. To begin to toboggan, first buy a toboggan, but don't buy too big a toboggan. Too big a toboggan is too big a toboggan to buy to begin to toboggan. So, no one would ever actually say that sentence, but that's a fun sentence to say. Thanks, Vicky, for that. That was a fun one. Now we should find the French version of it. Let's see here. Miss Liu. Hi, Bob. Could you explain the meaning of on top of something and turn away from? I noticed it a couple of months ago. Thanks for answering. So, literally, this mug is on top of my hand. But what you're talking about is to be doing a job so that you're always at the right point. How do I explain this? Each week, John. Each week, Jen is on top of cutting flowers. She needs to go out and get a certain number of flowers every day. She's always on top of it. So it means that she's not behind. There's the best explanation. When you're on top of something, you're not behind. When you turn away from something or someone, it simply means that you're not doing it anymore or you're ignoring that person. Okay. So if I was to, if I was to turn away from doing live streams, it would mean I'm not doing live streams anymore. But I'm going to keep doing them, just so you know. Next question from Amir. Hi, Bob. Thanks for your good lessons. What is the difference between advertising and advertisement? When do or when can I use them? So we do some advertising and we do it by buying advertisements. So do you understand? Advertising is the act of letting people know what your business does. Many companies spend a lot of money on advertising. So it's the action of, you know, having television commercials and buying spots in the newspaper. An advertisement is the thing, right? So a TV commercial is an advertisement. In the newspaper, you have advertisements. So that is the difference. Hey, Christopher, thank you. Welcome to membership on the channel. Thank you for becoming a member. That's awesome of you. I hope that you enjoy your time here as a member, and thank you for doing that. Let's get to the next question. Poger says, "Hello, teacher. Actually, I just want to ask, do you know anything about Kurdistan? I am from there." Well, I know where it is, and that's really about all. But this is what I usually say, Holger. When someone asks if I know anything about their country, and if I don't, I usually look it up on Wikipedia right after the lesson. So I'm always curious to find out more about where people live. So thank you. After this lesson is done, I will read a little bit about Kurdistan and I will look it up on Wikipedia and on Google Maps. Always lots of fun. Let's see. Akif. Hi, Mr. Bob. Could you please give some suggestions on how to expand my vocabulary? My recommendation, and this isn't proven by science or English language teachers, but my experience for me is that reading is one of the best ways to learn new words. Because I'm a French English or a French speaker, when I read in French, I take the time to underline or highlight new words and learn them. I do try to use them right away that week in a conversation or in some writing, but I find the best way to find new words and learn them is to do a lot of reading. It just works well for me. Let's see here. Irina, hi, Teacher Bob. Please explain the phrase to take issue. So when you take issue with something, it means you're upset about it. In Canada, when the government said that we had to have a vaccine passport to go in restaurants this week, many people took issue with that. So when you take issue with something, it means you don't like it. Maybe it's a new law. Maybe it's a rule. Sometimes in class, I make classroom rules and some of my students take issue with it. They don't like it. And then my second question is, how do we pronounce died versus died? They are the same pronunciation for me. I don't think they're pronounced differently in British English. But for me, I could say he died and I could say the shirt is dyed dark black. Okay. I think this is black. Funny little fact about Bob the Canadian. It's hard for me to tell the difference between dark blue and black. They look the same to me, those two colors. I think I'm a little bit colorblind then. Like not majorly, but for me, like navy blue, a dark, dark blue and black look very much the same. I can't tell them apart. Wolf says, morning, Bob, can you say a few sentences in French, please? C'est difficile pour moi de parler français quand je suis en train de parler anglais et enseigner l'anglais sur l'internet. Je dois changer les mots, je dois utiliser les mots différents, c'est pour moi quelque chose. Quand je suis en train d'enseigner sur un live comme ça, je veux parler seulement l'anglais parce que tout le monde est ici pour apprendre l'anglais. Puis, c'est pas juste pour eux si je commence à parler français. What did he just say? What did Bob talk about? I just said, it's really hard for me to switch to speaking French. I'm going to listen to myself speak French for a sec. Yeah, there's me speaking French. I basically said, it's hard for me to switch into French when I'm so focused on teaching English. And it's unfair for everyone who's here if I speak English or French because they're here to learn English. Bob the Canadian. Hello, Bob. What do you call a person with the same name? I think we just say they have the same name. Like he has the same name as me. That guy's name is Bob. He has the same name as me. So I don't think there's a specific term for that. Let's see here. Deegan, thank you very much for your effort. My listening and reading skills are good, but I can't speak 5 minutes. So how can I improve my speaking skills, please? Well, number one, you need to connect your listening and reading to speaking somehow. One way to do this is, if you're listening to music, start to sing along. If you're reading, try to read out loud. So you need, in your brain, you need to kind of connect those activities. If you are watching a YouTube video, listen to 10 seconds and hit pause and say what the speaker was saying. If you're reading a newspaper article, try to read all of it out loud and then read it quietly. And then you just need to practice the speaking. And my recommendation, which I say all the time, is hire someone to have English conversations with you for at least 30 minutes once a week, and you will very much benefit from that. It's just a great thing to do when you're learning a language. Rodrigo, hello, dear teacher. Greetings from Colombia. I want to ask you for advice for understanding contractions such as I'll, I'd, etc. when people talk. I think you just need to listen to more informal English. YouTube videos are a great way to do this. Not like mine where I'm teaching a lesson, but watching normal vloggers, normal English vloggers. They're going to use contractions all the time because informal English is very rapid and full of contractions. So that's what I would do. I would watch like just regular Canadian American YouTubers and listen for those contractions. Let's see here. Eduardo says, have you seen the movie The Curious Case of Benjamin Button? I remembered it because of the aging topic yesterday. So yes, yesterday we did a topic on aging. Remember, this video comes out again in a shorter version tomorrow. So look for that. And then the question is, yes, I have seen that movie. I think I've seen it a number of years ago. That's where Brad Pitt gets younger, right? As the movie goes along, he actually ages backwards. I think I should watch it again because I think my memory is that it was a very cool movie. So Eduardo, I will try to see if that movie's on Netflix or something and I'll try to watch it again. Hey, let's go to the river cam. Sorry, that was my timer cam. Let's go to the river cam for a minute. I think it was wise that we were inside. I am going to wrap up the lesson in a sec because it looks like it might start to spit out there. The camera adjusts for the light, but it's actually a lot darker outside now than when I started the lesson. So anyways, let's wrap this lesson up. I like to go for about an hour. I am sorry that I missed out. There's like 27 more questions. I don't have time to answer them. So sorry about that. Anyways, thanks to Todd and Dave for moderating the chat. Thanks to all of the people who hang out, especially my English teacher buddies, Brent from American English with this guy, Sean from Free 99 English, Rod, the English teacher. Thanks for hanging out in the chat. Thanks to all of you who are members. I do really appreciate it and it is very helpful for me to keep this thing going and to make quality content for all of you. And I do want to say, have a good Saturday. I know for some of you, it's Saturday evening. For me, my Saturday is half over. I have the wonderful job of going out this afternoon to buy lots of groceries so that I can feed my family for another week. So anyways, bye to Lolly Lolly and Ho Tien and Mode Eggs and Judith and Yaroslav. And Eduardo, I know Ario is here somewhere. Bye to Natalia Belgrade, Vinicius. I think Talk Italian with Arone is here. I saw earlier. Judith, bye to Judith as well. Sadula, Let's Star, Bulat, Sayed, bye to all of you. Hopefully I didn't miss anybody. I like to see too, like I say bye to Mode Eggs and Mode Eggs is saying bye to Eduardo. Very fun to see people. Bye, Olga and everyone else. I'm going to hit the stop button now or end stream and I will see you Tuesday with a new video. Tuesday's video was a lot of fun. It was raining just a little bit. So I made a video about how to talk about a rainy day in English. It might be review for some of you. The phrases might be fairly simple, but it was fun to get out in that weather. I did a video on how to describe a sunny day or warm day. I'll do a winter day later this year as well, but look for that one on Tuesday. Anyways, thanks for being here. Bye. Have a good day. Hi, Bob the Canadian here. Thank you for listening to this English podcast lesson. If you would like to support me in the work that I do as an online English teacher, please visit patreon.com/BobTheCanadian.